John chapter 21, please. I want to take you down towards the end of this chapter, verse number 18. We'll begin reading there to verse 25. Believe it or not, I've entitled this message, "It's None of Your Business." Or my favorite term to be, how many of you, somebody told you it's none of your business? That really doesn't accept too well, does it? Or they'll say, "Well, never mind." And I think, well, I could never mind if I hadn't had it put on my mind to start with. Verse 18 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true, and there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for this tremendous book we call the Bible. I'm thankful this morning that it is our authority. I'm thankful that it's true from cover to cover. Lord, I'm especially fond of what's on the cover, Holy Bible. Thank you for a holy book that comes from your mouth. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would enable both the preacher and the listener to allow you to move and to work. Bless in these moments, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Curiosity is a peculiar quality that spurs us to learn. Whether it's in the science, or whether it's in history, whether it's the arts, whether it's job skills, or a myriad of other things, we have curiosity about stuff. Little children, as they're growing up, and they begin to talk, and one of their favorite words is, "Why? Why?" You tell them why, and then they'll say, "Why?" And the march keeps going. But by all means, it ought to jolt our longing for heart knowledge of God. Who is God? What is God all about? What does he have to say to us? What is it that he wants us to gain? How is it that he wants us to live? It's said that curiosity killed the cat. It can lead us into trouble, and thus our curiosity needs to be reined in, that we stay on the right path. In our text, we find that Peter had just been informed of by the prophetic lips of the Lord Jesus Christ as to his life's outcome. It said there that when he is old, he says that another shall gird thee. They'll carry him about. They'll take him where he would not necessarily go himself. If you've ever been in the hospital and they say, "Well, we're going to go and do this test or that test or another test," my favorite answer to all of them was, "I haven't studied for it. But they took me anyway." And off we would go, wheeling down through the halls, and all I could see half the time would be the roof and trying to figure out where in the world I am at. Somebody else was leading me along. It was a custom at Rome to put the necks of those who were to be crucified into a yoke. They would then take from that yoke and stretch their hands out and bind their hands with that yoke about their neck. They would then lead them through the city and carry them out to be crucified. And we find that that's really what it's speaking of here, as Jesus says about Peter, this is what's going to take place. We find that, I don't know if we call it history or what people think, but Peter, it is said, when they were going to crucify him, said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Hang me upside down. But they carried him and put him on the cross. We find that the means of that death would ultimately bring glory to God. This spake he in verse 19, signified by what death he should what? Glorify God. We don't often think of death as glorifying God. But when we lived our life for the Lord and now we are in the presence of God, it's interesting how people's hearts and minds are drawn to God. And what's that do? It brings glory to God. Three times previous to this particular encounter, we find that Peter is told to feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. But now we find in verse number 19, he simply says to Peter, follow me. But we find something interesting here, and that is Peter isn't content on his own ministry, but seeks to pry into God's business with John. Verse 21, Lord, what shall this man do? Many, many years ago, when we began Christian school, we were in the ACE, and I remember I went down to Kansas to have some training. I spent a week there, and I went through what we call PACES. They were materials that we did, and I think it was either the eighth or the ninth one. It was one that was called Monkey Business, and it was really kind of a funny take on something, and what they were trying to discuss and trying to help us understand is that in our business day by day, there are certain monkeys that we should not be picking up. And there's a big monkey that takes care of all the littler monkeys, and then some of those older monkeys take care of some little ones, but you should never grab somebody else's monkey. And what is Peter doing? He's trying to put the Lord on the spot and grab his monkey. And so he says, Lord, what shall this man do? Verse number 22, what's he say? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Sometimes we get so taken up with, what about the other person? We forget that God wants you and me to follow him. So what's the practical application? What can we take home from this? What can we learn? What can we put into our hearts and our minds that would aid us in some days to come? I think, first of all, we might look at this and consider, know what God wants you to do. In other words, know your calling. Peter had been given a duty. That duty was to feed the Lord's sheep. Matter of fact, he had been shown the length of his life was going to be a long one. He was shown what was going to take place at the end would be martyrdom. And God had made Peter differently than anybody else. Here's a man that is a fisherman. He learned how to work. He wasn't afraid of it. He tended to be somewhat impetuous. He was one that could stick his foot in his mouth very, very quickly. He was really a leader type. He was one that just somehow drew people around him. God, when he made Peter, made one Simon Peter. He was a disciple that was turned to an apostle. And what we need to understand is that God, in his infinite wisdom, has created each of us significantly and specially to bring honor to the Lord. I have two girls sitting in the front row, Candace and Madison. Right off the bat, you ought to know something. They're not the same person. They have two different names. They're two different characters. Boy, some days are they characters. They have different characteristics about them. Thank God they're friends, at least for the moment. And you know, you look at them, they both have on dark glasses. That's about the extent of the sameness. Oh, they both have two arms, two legs, two ears, one nose. One mouth that moves constantly. But God made them unique. God didn't make you like anybody else. I think one of the hardest things for young people to understand is God didn't make you like everybody else. He made you very specifically the way He did. And that which you think is a blemish is actually God's beauty mark in your life. And thus, as we consider that, we should never try to be like someone else in all that they are and in all that they do. Now, it's good if somebody has characteristics that we can learn from and we can gain from. But to simply imitate is not going to be helpful in our lives. My growing up years as a Christian was under the ministry of Dr. Tom Malone. I mentioned Sunday school. He was considered by many to be the greatest pulpiteer of our era. And I had the privilege to hear him speak. I was going to say daily, but that wasn't true, but at least every 3 or 4 days. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night. I worked on Wednesday nights, but chapel every day. And he preached probably most of those. And there was one thing that I learned, and that is that we preacher boys that sat under him began to not mock him, but to try to imitate him. There was one thing that he did that used to just, I sat over here like these folks are, and matter of fact, there was like four different things, so I was outside. And one of the things that I noticed that he did, he'd pull a hanky out of his pocket. And nobody else could see it, but I could see it over there. And he'd take that hanky and just go from corner to corner while he was preaching. Now, there would be some guys say, that's what I need to be a great preacher. Get me a nice white hanky and go from corner to corner while I'm preaching. And so we imitate things. Listen, God wants us to know our calling. God wants to understand something. That is, He's made us unique. Because God has for each of us something very special to do. Do you realize there are things that I cannot do or things I should not do? But God has others who can. God puts in a church people who have gifts. Not everybody has the same gift, but He gives it severally as He will. Why does He do that? Because He's given certain people certain abilities, certain things that others cannot do. Just that simple. There are some of you, if I said, you're going to come up here next Sunday morning and preach, you'd die of a heart attack. You would say, I cannot do it. Your knees might even buckle under you at the very moment. But you know how to do some other things. You're unique. I told Quentin I was thinking about him this morning. Because I was thinking about this very thing, and a picture of Quentin came into my mind. You better wipe your forehead. I've known very few people who have such a quick wit as Quentin. There's been a few times I've kind of been embarrassed with it, but there's, you know, for the most part. There is something that He can do that others cannot do. You see, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. He's a medicator. We're going to call Him Dr. Q. He's very unique. The Q stands for Quentin, not queer. Don't take that in the wrong light. We need something out of you right now, brother. You know, there's something very unusual about his wife. She knows how to handle him. You know how she handles him? She knows how to ignore him like nobody else. I'm just teasing, Mary. But seriously, God makes all of us different. Isn't that true? Yeah. We got a 98-year-old man that sits here that every kid in this church will come and see him. Say, well, he buys him with candy. How many others in this room are willing to buy him with candy? And to remember him every Sunday morning and have a pocket full of it. And he treats each one of them very special, and they love it. If I carry candy around, it'd never get into a kid's hand. I'd be eating it before they did. God makes us all different. Having a little bit of fun with it, but we need to understand something very good. That is, God has given you a calling. God has made you unique. God has done that in your life. And God wants you to use what you have for Him. But let's understand something secondly, and that is, strive for the right standard. Though we be different, at the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ is the standard, not anyone else. Can we learn from each other? By all means. But our goal is to please the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do," by the way, brethren, how much is that? Whatsoever ye do. Does that count 24 hours a day? Does that count 23 hours a day? Does that count 8 hours a day? I don't know about you, it sounds like 24 hours a day. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You see what we're doing? It is for Him. He's given us different abilities, but we use whatever it is to please Him. And we please Him by being and doing His calling and whatever gifts He's given to us. Listen, God's given me two jobs. Maybe I just divide it into two. One's to preach, the other's to be an overseer. It's just that simple. I'm not the pianist, and I'm not going to try to play, and I'm not going to tell them how to play. But I can sing when they play. I'm not a security person, but I let them do that. That's their job. The hardest lesson that I have been learning for 47 years is to let people do what God has directed them without seeking to micromanage them. If we want to fasten two boards together, I want to use a nail and you want to use a glue and somebody else wants to use a screw, what difference does it make? When the two objects are fastened together, isn't that what is accomplished? Strive for the right standard, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's stop and think about this. The right standard for entrance into heaven is not our works, but our faith in Christ. That which is going to get you into heaven is not what you do. It's not what you believe. It's who you believe. If you believe the right one, you'll be believing the right things. What did Jesus tell us about ourselves? We've sinned. What do we know about sin and God? We know that God is highly displeased with sin. God will not tolerate it. God will judge it. But the good news is, and what we can believe is what Jesus told us, and that is, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. How did that take place? Because he paid for my sin. Now, you can pay for it, or you can let Jesus pay for it. One way or another, it's going to get paid for. If you do it yourself, let me help you understand what that means. That means that you're going to die. That means you're going to be taken away from God for all eternity. We call that place that you'll be sent hell. You say, I don't believe in that stuff. You will 5 minutes after you're there. I agree with that second. How do we get into heaven? It's not our works, not our works of righteousness. It's by faith in Christ. Amen. So we strive for the right standard. What else can we learn from this particular scripture? And perhaps here's one of the greatest things we can gain. Never compare ourselves to others. In 1973, we held our very first service for Open Door Baptist Church. I do not know why or how, but for the next two or three decades, I received a paper. I never paid for it, never bought it, never asked for it. The paper was by a guy by the name of John R. Rice. Some of you remember that name. That paper that he wrote and published and put out was called The Sword of the Lord. Normally, every week in that Sword of the Lord, there would be three sermons, there would be illustrations, there would be different kinds of things, but there was always within those pages an article about a church plant and their great numerical success. And every time I read one of those, I would be discouraged. Now, he put it in there to encourage, but I would be discouraged because I was comparing myself with somebody else and I was not measuring up. We're not comparing ourselves to others. We're just simply find out what it is God wants us to do and do it. Comparing ourselves with others will do one of two things. It will pump your pride because you believe you are better than somebody else. You look and say, man, I have won this. I'm better than this person. That's nothing more than pride. But on the other side of that, it will dump your zeal by believing you can never do what they do. I don't believe God wants us to compare ourselves with each other. We need to look to the Lord Jesus as our standard. And then when we look to him as our standard, we find out that we're not adequate. But if we know our inadequacies, we can come to God and God will help us. Isn't that true? Hello, isn't that true? God will help us. I don't know how many times I stood by a bedside and somebody was sick and they were laying there with almost no hope. And I walk into the room and I don't know what to say. There have been times I just stood there and looked at them and listened if they had anything to say, had a prayer and left and thought, oh God, I failed miserably. Only to find out later that that's all I needed to do. We try to compare ourselves with others. You've heard me tell the story. I walked into a hospital room one day, and here was a fellow on the bed. He was dying. I didn't know the family. Maybe one member of the family, they'd called me and asked me to come. And they were all gathered around the bed. As I'm walking down the hall, one of them steps out of the hall, and sees me coming. And I get to the doorway, and she introduces me and says, "This is Pastor Springer. He knows what to say." Really? I didn't have a clue. But I was there. By the way, do you know there's a thing called ministry of presence? It's very real. And it's something all of us can do. But what happens is we get afraid that we can't do it as good as somebody else. And we compare ourselves with them without stopping and realizing, hey, I'm a child of God. He's put me in this spot. Oh, God, help me. Lord, if it's words you want me to say, amen. If it's a hug you want me to give, amen. Whatever it is, Lord, give me the sense to do it. That's one thing I can do. Do we need that in our lives? Very definitely. What was Peter worried about? He was worried about John. Jesus said, "Hey, listen, Peter, you follow me. Quit worrying about somebody else. Never mind what's going to take place in their lives. You are your own unique individual. This is your calling. I've just told you what it is. You strive for that standard, and that standard is what I have laid out before you. And then don't compare yourself with others. Know your inadequacies and seek God's help. And also, brethren, remember that we're no better than anybody else. We're better than nobody else. I may be better off because I'm going to heaven, but I'm not better. You see, the grace that's going to take me to heaven is the same grace that God can use in your life. Same grace He wants to use in your life. But there's something very magnificent about grace. You can't force it on people. It's no longer grace. Grace must be accepted. Amen? Grace must be accepted. There's no other way. Oh, what should I do here? Madison, how can you get that? Don't leave it there. I might take it back. She's got it clenched tight now. Jeff's back here foaming. He says, "Why didn't he come back to the third row?" Did Jeff do anything for it? Nothing. Did I have to give it to you? No, I didn't. Don't mess up my sermon. It came because I wanted to let you have it. How'd you get it? Received it. That's what salvation is. Amen. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We receive His gift through our faith. We're, by the way, that's believing God, what He's told us, and we're accepting it, and God says, it's yours. Now, what if she acts up and I walk over and take it away from her? It's no longer a gift. It was contingent on something she did or is doing. My salvation is not contingent upon what I have done or what I am doing. But I'll guarantee you this, she's got enough sense to know if she keeps behaving herself right, Grandpa just might bring out another $10 bill. Keep hoping, dearie. Salvation, amen? How? I like that stuff. God's good, amen? Well, we're going to do something right now. I'm going to bow my head and pray. And if you would with me, I'd appreciate it. Before we do that, let's do it this way. Why don't you bow your heads, because I don't want you to see anybody else. I'm looking, but nobody else. Would you please do that? Is there somebody in this room that say, Preacher, I need to accept that by believing in God, believing in Lord Jesus, what he's done for me. I want to receive that grace that he has. I need that. Preacher, would you pray for me? Nobody's looking, just myself. If you just slip your hand up, I might see it. I'm not going to call you by name if I know it. It's not my intent. Anybody like that? Anywhere? Christian, do you know somebody that's true of? God has given us an ability to reach them. There are some people that you can reach that I would never be able to. Father, today, work in hearts. Blessing these moments, may you be glorified by it in Jesus' name. Amen.